From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And on this show, we deal with mental health issues from a very holistic perspective, which means body, mind, and spirit, finding a sense of consciousness and balance of those components of who you are, body, mind, and spirit. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And before we get into today's topic, I just want to acknowledge my sponsor, Rainbow Mobile Notary Services. Now, in the light of recent things dealing with Terri Schiavo, that we know as a nation we all recently witnessed the unfortunate events and circumstances surrounding Terri Schiavo, each day hundreds of individuals face difficult life-altering decisions and are not properly prepared. Don't let this happen to you. Let Rainbow Mobile Notary Services help. We all tend to avoid stressful, emotional, physical, and financially charged issues and convince ourselves it's never going to happen to me. For your own peace of mind and for the well-being of those you love, don't wait or procrastinate. Let Rainbow Mobile Notary Services assist you with living wills, trusts, estate plannings, medical power of attorneys, and much more. Plan now. Prevent problems later. If you're interested in taking care of these things, Rainbow Notary Mobile Notary Service will come to you at your office or home by setting up an appointment to notarize these important papers. And if you don't have copies of the medical power of attorneys and living wills, they may have some, they do have some generic ones that is basically fill in the blanks. So if you want to get in touch with them and get on top of this, whether you think something's imminent in terms of having to make these decisions or whether you just want the peace of mind that comes with knowing you have your house in order, call Rainbow Mobile Notary Services at 480-518-2090. That's 480-518-2090. Or you can visit them at their website, which is www.rainbowprof.com. That's Rainbow Prof, P-R-O-F, as in professional, rainbowprof.com. So I want to thank them for the support I get on the show here and encourage you to take care of business, which is exactly what we do on this show. We take care of business, and that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be dealing with an issue that is close to our minds and hearts and definitely close to our bodies. The title of today's show is Lose Weight by Losing the Obstacles to a More Balanced You. Overcome the obstacles that manifest themselves in the form of weight gain and overeating. And in a moment, I'll be introducing my guest today, who this is her second appearance on the show, Lynn Gagliardi, who is a certified life coach in the Phoenix area. And I want to start by talking about weight gain. Now, every bestseller list seems to include the latest diet book, latest fad diet book. Now, diet alone, which is basically struggling to restructure your eating habits, may temporarily prove successful. But without dealing with the things we deal with on this show all the time, which is not just the physical being, but what's going on inside of us? What are the repressed emotions, blocked memories? What are the conditioned patterns of our belief systems and behaviors? Without dealing with all those things are going to continue working against just the change in your eating habits. And so what we're talking about today is how to lose weight by losing the negative belief systems, by losing the weight of the internal emotions that we carry around, the unresolved resentments, the angers, the fears, the self-loathing, and all those things that over a lifetime we actually have created literally a body of padding that has nothing to do with the weight on our bodies. It has to do with the weight we're carrying internally. Now, before Lynn comes on, I want to read a little bit. A friend and colleague of mine and one of my teachers is Sandra Ray, and she's been on the show as a guest before. Back in 1981, she wrote a book, The Only Diet There Is. And basically, in 1981, this is exactly what she was talking about. And I want to read just a bit to you about what Sandra says. Your body cannot be separated from your self-image. To start at the beginning, you need to develop a complete and positive concept of yourself. You need to be at peace with yourself, to like yourself and others, and to treat yourself with love, not punishment. Your physical being does not take its shape directly from what you do to it, that is, from what you eat or how you exercise. Rather, your physical self responds to the attitude you have of it. Once your self-image improves, you can begin to reduce the inner strain and free your body of its outer fat. Your body is at the effect of your mind, or, in other words, your mind always rules your body. And again, dealing with a holistic approach to things, that is the essence of what this show's about. And the essence of what today's show is about, and my guest today, as I said, has been on the show before. She is a certified life coach in the Phoenix area, and she is also appearing monthly for the next few months on ABC 15's morning show, Sonoran Living Live in Phoenix. And she's doing something very interesting I'm going to ask her to explain. So, Lynn, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Stuart. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Before we go any further, in just like 30 seconds, what is a certified life coach? Because I know the last show we did, we talked about the difference between a life coach and therapy. Mm-hmm. But let the people know exactly what it is you do as a life coach as opposed to a therapist.
Well, you know, sometimes there is a crossover. However, the difference really between what I do and what a therapist does is I work with the issues with my clients in whatever way they show up. However, if there's some unresolved anger or over emotion going on that I don't feel qualified to handle because I'm not a licensed therapist, I will refer them to a therapist. Mm-hmm. So if they are crying a lot or seem very needy or clingy or unresolved emotions or anger, I will definitely refer them out because that's not my area of expertise.
And your area of expertise is actually?
My area of expertise is actually to help anyone or any business. I work with businesses and then people in their lives in general to move forward toward their goals and mm-hmm. to reach more happiness.
Mm-hmm. So basically it's about goal setting
yeah.
and the steps it takes to reach those goals. And as they're taking those steps, taking a look at the obstacles that mm-hmm. get in their way in that process.
Right, and helping them to overcome those obstacles. And if they're unable to move forward beyond those obstacles, it's very action-oriented, the coaching mm-hmm. process. If I see that they're stuck, I will refer them out because, again, I'm not qualified in that area. And a lot of my clients do work with me and a therapist in mm-hmm. conjunction.
Right. So when we're talking about obstacles, today we're going to put that in the context of weight loss and
right.
body image.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what are you doing on Sonoran Live, Sonoran Living Live on ABC in the Phoenix area, and how'd you get involved in that?
Well, first of all, I just want to make one comment about Sandra Ray's book,
uh-huh.
if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
I cannot believe that 24 years later we're talking about the very same belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's not about weight. So
right.
it's not, you know, it's the manifestation of what has happened because of your belief system. So
well,
I find that so interesting.
I believe great minds think alike.
I do.
And I believe and you have one of those great minds because you've gotten to the same belief system independently Knowing
about her.
Say again?
Not even knowing about her.
I know, because when I told you about it just a few minutes ago, you were quite surprised and pleasantly so that this exists. And I really recommend her book, and I recommend the approach that you're taking very highly, because, again, it's really what I do as a therapist. It's what are the obstacles to attaining inner peace and attaining a sense of balance between body, mind, and spirit. And what we're talking about here is that there's no separating the body, mind, and the spirit. One leads the other and affects the other constantly.
Yes, exactly. And then now I'll, get to the question that you asked, what am I doing on ABC 15 Sonoran Living Live? And my wonderful marketing assistant, just to net it out for you, literally picked up the phone and started calling some TV and radio stations for me because she knew I wanted some media attention. And we met with a salesperson, and he wanted, of course, for me to do some 30-second commercials and that kind of thing.
Right.
And I said, I'm not interested in that. I said, I'm interested in programming. Mm-hmm. I said, and then, from there, if I get the programming and my client base increases because of that, I will absolutely and very happily do some spots of some commercials for you. So he was nice enough to talk to the producer. I think he saw some glimmer of light in me. And he talked to the executive producer. He hooked us up, and I was persistent because she's a very busy woman. And she wanted me to get involved with, it's called Lose Big. So it was a weight loss contest that started April 28th. And there's five contestants, which she narrowed down from about 15. And, the typical having, a weight loss contest, pounds and inches. And she wanted me to work with them. In whatever, she really gave me complete creative liberty to do whatever I saw fit with these women.
Well, to do your thing and to use your approach.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we were on the show for the first time. They weighed in, and they, very, very emotional stories. They all got to read their emails that she wrote, that they wrote to the producer in order to qualify to get onto the show. And I could just hear, there were tears, live TV. There were sobbing, which was beautiful to see. But, there's so much pain underneath that weight. And so we're on every month through July. We just did our second appearance on this past Wednesday. And I work with them in the studio conference room off air two other times per week in a group environment. So we do group coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about weight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know if they've lost or gained. I don't care about that. We don't talk about food. We talk about the deeper core issues. And some of them are really getting and moving forward, and some of them we're still digging, down, peeling the layers away from the onion, because it's so deep that some of these beautiful women don't really even know.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really remarkable, first of all, I want to let you know, too, that I am not, I'm a very credible person in regard to this subject, because I struggled with bulimia and anorexia for many, 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 many years. So I know where they are. I know where they've been. I have, issues around my weight. I'm not an overweight person, but my self-image sometimes is a little lacking. So I only share that personal disclosure because I'm not this person telling you from lack of experience. I know
right.
where
and
they,
I appreciate
where they
that,
are.
And I think my listeners will appreciate that also, so thank you.
Yeah, oh, no problem. So, the first, we've had two group sessions so far, and they got it. They got it right away. When I explained this, that it's all in your head, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's all what you're thinking. That's what's causing the weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
Or the overeating, or the manifestation of it. And then when we dug down behind a lot of this, it all goes back to the families of origin, and it's nobody's fault. All of our parents did the very, very, very best they could.
Mm-hmm. Usually passed on what was done to them.
Exactly.
So,
and that's exactly what these women are realizing, that, oh, my gosh, I'm treating my kids in a certain situation exactly the way my parents treated me, and that's why I'm overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So nip it in the butt. She realized, she started sobbing, that, oh, my gosh, she had this fear of intimacy, and she wasn't spending. She was physically present with her children, but not emotionally present.
Mm-hmm.
And that she was a latchkey kid.
Right.
She realized, because somebody was objective enough to point it out to her, that she was repeating that same behavior. So her homework assignment was, it didn't have anything to do with don't eat any bread. It had to do with spend 30 minutes a day on the floor. She's got three children under the age of six, so they're babies.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum of 30 minutes per day on the floor with each individual child and just be present with them emotionally. And she's doing it.
What kind of stuff is it bringing up for her? Because very often, I mean, one of the other things that, you know, Sandra has always said is that love brings up everything unlike itself for healing and release.
Yeah.
So if she's on that floor feeling that love and that connection, is she finding that it's bringing up a lot of the grief that she experienced?
You know, I'm really not sure yet because this was a recent assignment and we haven't gotten together again as the group.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing that in another week. But I will tell you, these women seem lighter to me, and I said this on the show on Wednesday. Everybody noticed. They didn't notice their weight. You know what they noticed? They noticed that they had this glow.
Mm-hmm.
That was the word that the host of the show, she said, you all have a glow.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of this, quote-unquote, weight, emotional weight, has been lifted from them. And the weight, the physical weight, I assure them, and I have assured them, will fall off.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go to a fast food restaurant and eat until, you know, you can't even walk anymore, but it doesn't really matter. To me, my belief system, it doesn't really matter what you put in your mouth as long as you're feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm. Explain that. What do you mean? Before you even go there, I know that I forgot to mention to my listeners that if they want to call in and ask you or me some questions about this or have a story of their own, they can call the station and be on the show today at 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. So explain that last statement a little bit more.
I believe that whatever emotion we're feeling, whether it be negative or positive emotion, will manifest itself physically through illness, through, in this instance, in this, you know, conversation, weight, through any other type of quote-unquote addictive behavior. So if they are feeling guilty because society has said that fast food isn't good for you, and I'm not condoning or I'm not, you know, I'm not really forming any opinion, I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Because society has put such a negative connotation about on fat and now carbohydrates are the enemy,
mm-hmm.
that people are going to feel guilty when they eat that type of food. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
A lot of people will feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, and it's a rhetorical one, is guilty a positive or negative emotion? It's a negative emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So that negative emotion will eventually filter down, and for these women, because of their families of origin and what they saw and concluded when they were children, their manifestation is in the form of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, if you said, you know what, McDonald's is fine once in a while, and I'm not, you know, I didn't mean to plug McDonald's. Fast food is fine once in a while. My body will know exactly what to do with this food.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, sounds like a positive emotion.
Yeah.
That particular person will not mm-hmm. put weight on.
Right. You know, I believe that. And I think also the key is when you get rid of or heal a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, then all of a sudden you learn to live in balance and
mm-hmm.
moderation becomes
yes.
the key. And so eating what you want, it's like I told you earlier today, I was a fat kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was, by the time I was 16, I was over 200 pounds and had a 36.5-37 inch waist. And it was a horrible way to grow up a kid, but I knew what I was doing. Even then I knew that I was eating because I was unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, I hated my body. I hated being in it. I hated the teasing that I got. It was the sort of thing that, you know, in those days when you opened the refrigerator door, there was a click. People could hear it. And the refrigerator door would open, and I hear three voices coming from around the house going, Stuart, are you in the refrigerator again?
Oh, no. Talk about
guilt. That sort of thing. And food was a primary factor in my family. My dad always was battling his weight, and yet the house was always filled with ice cream and cookies and cake and very fattening stuff, and it was a family tradition that sometimes at 10 o'clock at night, my dad would go out and buy gallons of ice cream and toppings, and we'd all make sundaes together.
Oh, yeah, my house too.
You know, and at a certain point, I just said, I hate this body. I hate the way I feel and look. And the key was, I hate the way I feel, you know. And at that time, I thought it was just about physical feelings. I mean, I realize now that there was so much underneath. But even as a kid, I knew that I was stuffing food in my mouth in order to keep the emotions down.
And then what did you do?
Well, it was interesting because my dad had always been dieting, and it was more of an intuitive thing. I was a very intuitive kid, and at age 16, I basically put myself on a diet and basically eliminated, even back then, I knew just to eliminate the carbs, and I cut out the breads and the pastas and the sweets and all that stuff, and if my mother was cooking something for dinner that was definitely too fattening for me, I love tuna fish, so it was easy for me to just open a can of tuna fish and cut a head of lettuce up and put some light dressing on it, and within the year I lost 55 pounds.
Mm.
And like I told you, it was very interesting, because rather than feeling it as a punishment and denying myself everything, the psychologist in me, even back then, knew that I needed to give myself permission each day to eat either two cookies or a small piece of cake a day. And so, like you said, it's not what you eat, it's the attitude you have with
it.
And to me, it was kind of like, it was my daily pleasure, so I didn't feel totally like I was denying myself and somehow punishing myself because of the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the 55 pounds came off in a year, and people, it was the first thing I had ever done that I felt proud of myself for and felt I had done myself for myself.
Right. What a
Even
confidence.
Though it took 2 years for the mental image that I finally looked in the mirror 2 years later and saw the thinner person.
So you probably became your what you saw as a kid. You became your father.
Right.
I mean, you nipped it in the bud at a very young age, which is terrific.
Right.
But that could have manifested itself all over the place had you not done that.
Exactly. Well, it did in other ways at other times, because at that point I wasn't aware of the inner healing I had to do.
Yeah.
Because my family pattern was we stuffed things,
right,
either through food or staying busy with other things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that was a family pattern. And what we're talking about here is the family patterns are important. Like you said, this stuff starts at a very early age. We're reinforced constantly that food equals love.
Yes.
You know, as babies, of course, we're held and nurtured when mom's feeding us, when we're infants. But it's also that manja, you know, thing with a Jewish or Italian or any family is sit down and eat. And the solution
was food. Our lives revolved around
food.
Our
Say
whole
again?
Lives. Our lives revolved around food. And I'm not, you know, this is the way they were brought up. Therefore, that was the way they raised us. You know, my heritage is very similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Italian Catholic family. When are we going to eat again?
Right.
When's the next meal?
But it's true even today, because when we get together with friends, so what's it usually about? It's about going to lunch or dinner together, or going for, you know, coffee and desserts together.
And, you know, it's so interesting. I'm sure you have, but I don't want to make any assumptions. Have you ever been to a European country?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Italy, France.
I've been all over Europe and Russia and the former Soviet Union. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, did you notice what I noticed in Italy? They eat, drink, smoke, 10 o'clock in the morning, they are healthy as
and
can
thin.
Be, and thin, because they enjoy food.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy it. They don't hoard the food. They don't eat like they're never going to eat again.
Right. They'll have a 9-course meal.
Absolutely,
but
and thin as could be.
Right.
Well,
it's the same thing. This woman recently wrote a book about the French and their thinness, that they could eat whatever they want and they still stay thin.
Because,
and on the bestseller list.
Right, and there's no, I think I saw one of those women on Oprah or one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
When I went there, I couldn't find a gym.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any. They wouldn't survive because they walk everywhere.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Their daily lives and most is they're exercising more on a natural part of what they do. They, you know, they're walking everywhere and they don't, you know, their apartments for the most part are smaller, their refrigerators are smaller, so their homes aren't stocked as much as we go to Costco here, and we have a 2-month supply of cookies sitting here, and usually eat them in a week.
Right. There's no canned foods. They go to the market every day
to buy what
they need for the day. And so my bottom line there is, they take care of themselves. They close business at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock for a siesta, and they come back to work at 6 o'clock. They go home, they eat their meal, they rest. What? Oh, my gosh, they rest in the middle of the day, and they come back, as you know, 6 or 7 o'clock, and they stay open till 11 o'clock, and then they go have a light dinner. Mm-hmm. And then they close the whole month of August. Everybody goes on vacation at the same time. Isn't that? They just enjoy their lives. They take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have healthier minds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not overweight. It's just very interesting to me.
Well, definitely. So again, getting back to the TV show,
mm-hmm.
and so you got involved with them,
mm-hmm.
and you're running the group twice a week. You're seeing them
twice a month.
Twice a month. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're part of a panel that's working with these women, correct?
Yeah, there's trainers that are working with them at the respective gyms, given their geographic location.
Okay, so it's you doing the coaching, and
mm-hmm.
then the
you'll have individual trainers, five
individual trainers. So they're also being reprogrammed in terms of exercise and caring for their body.
Correct.
And is it just you and the physical trainer then as the
yes.
panel?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then the TV program is really putting a lot of stock and faith in your approach to this.
They are.
Which is pretty awesome.
It's pretty progressive,
too. Yes.
It really, really is. But you know what I'm so thrilled about, Stuart, is that in the first coaching session, they really got it. They really understood, because this could be pretty deep for some people.
Mm-hmm.
They really understood it. There's one person who's struggling with it a little bit, but she understands it, because the way I described it is, when you lose weight, do you physically see it on the floor? I mean, you don't see the weight come off physically. You feel it, but
right.
because weight is energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you... A negative emotion is energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remove the negative emotion, the energy will just fall off,
mm-hmm.
the excess energy. It's just calories or energy.
Right.
That's all it is.
You're also transforming it into a higher vibration of
yes.
energy, too.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's important, too. And a lot of people hear those words and think this is too
esoteric for me, yes. Yeah.
But medical science backs that up. When you're more at peace, your body functions differently.
Absolutely.
And when your body's functioned differently, it processes the things you put into it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying. So it's not about what you're putting into it. It's about the attitude that you take towards it, the balance that you are giving to it,
mm-hmm.
and how you're embracing yourself and loving and caring for yourself in the process.
And absolutely. It really is about self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a country, we've fall short in that area.
Well, I think as a country, not meaning to get too political on this show, but as a country, we don't demonstrate love between our fellow men and women for the most part. There's so much hate mongering out there
yes.
in so many ways that alone is, even if you're not believing what some of the hate mongers are saying, it's still impacting and abusing you energetically.
Yes, absolutely.
So for those people who don't know how to cope with it, they're going to turn to things like food or drugs or sex or other things like that.
Right, or create some sort of, because I do believe that we create everything that shows up physically, including just my belief, including cancer, diabetes,
mm-hmm.
you know, heart problems, and that this country, and again, don't want to sound political, but we happen to be full of those issues because there's so much negative emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So my focus with these women is, I don't care what you do as long as you feel good
mm-hmm.
while you're doing it.
Okay.
And that is really what their homework is, just feel good.
Good. Now, I have an experiment to ask you to do with the women.
Okay.
Ask them how often they're watching the news or listening to news on
the
radio.
Oh, very good point.
Okay. Because it's one of my pet peeves.
I don't watch it.
I will listen to the, I read the newspaper every day, but But I don't need to read these long articles on the Iraq War. I see the headlines. I know what's going on. But there are other things that I find of interest, and politically it's important to me. But I often tell people, never watch the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah.
It's not the thing to do before you go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of TV and TV people that would probably scream at me for telling them not to watch the 11 o'clock. At that hour at the night, you need to be doing something more meditative and more nurturing and something that's going to nurture you more.
I completely agree with you, and thank you. I will ask them that.
Yeah, I'd be curious, actually.
You're right.
Because it's impactful. It's just what we're saying.
I don't want to get into that political conversation.
Okay.
It's so negative.
Well, let's talk about the consequences. We know that food, eating disorders in particular, can have extreme consequences for people, including death,
mm-hmm.
cardiac arrest, other medical complications, that the motivations behind those eating disorders could lead to suicide or having or trying to mask the feelings of suicide. You know, talk about what have these women identified in terms of the negative consequences of their weight at this point?
What I think they're realizing is that, and again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's not about the weight. Like for one woman, you know, they realize that they have, you know, negative self-image
mm-hmm.
because of it, which is, you know, true even to this very day. I don't see myself the way others see me.
Mm-hmm.
I still struggle with that. And the consequences for them is depression, anxiety, you know, and the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
However, what they're also realizing is there's unresolved anger, which showed up with a spouse. However, it really goes back to her father.
Right.
And this was one particular girl where I said, you really need to see a therapist because she's angry.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, 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 very angry. And what she did with that was she put on 100 pounds
mm-hmm.
because she thought she was getting back at the significant other, the spouse, which
right.
we all know that all we do is, you know, we hurt ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different consequences. It shows up, you know, in their families. Like the one woman who realized that, oh my gosh, I don't love myself enough that I'm not even loving my children.
Right.
You know.
Now, I need to say also that everything we're talking about, even though you're dealing with a group of women, applies to men.
Absolutely.
And their issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the numbers of men dealing with anorexia and bulimia are statistically a lot lower, but there are a lot of men that deal with the same issues by eating, as women. So the process is the same, and any of my male listeners out there need to know that we're not being sexist here. It's just the context of what Lynn is doing right now with the TV show happens to be with women.
Yes.
But everything we're saying applies to men who are listening.
It absolutely does. It just seems to be more of an issue. Weight gain, overeating, eating disorders just seems to be more prevalent with women because there's so much pressure in society to look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at, I'm happy to see on television that they're showing, you know, the waif model era is somewhat a thing of the past, and they are showing women that are average height and weight,
mm-hmm.
not 20 pounds, and men, not, you know, 20 pounds underweight,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, because they eat a piece of lettuce every day. So I'm happy to see that perspective is shifting a little bit. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed, and to me, it feels like it's been more about larger women feeling more empowered and saying, you know what, we're out here too, and we're beautiful too, and we're not going to stand by anymore and just have this misnomer that you have to be thin to be beautiful and thin
to be
powerful.
Yeah. And
you know, and I read something recently that actually I found fascinating, and that, you know, decades ago, most of the models, you know, dealing with clothes actually were full-figured women and stuff like that, but that a lot of the designers wanted, you know, and that was attractive to a lot of men,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they wanted the designers wanted the women to be looking at the clothes and not the women wearing it.
Right.
And that's how these models and this image of skinniness, you know, started developing, because they started picking models that had less to show off in terms of their body so that they were showing off the clothes.
The clothes. They wanted this to show the lines of the clothes, probably,
right.
So the women had to be thin.
Right. Which I found very interesting, because it wasn't even about that thin is better. It's just that they were trying to sell the clothes, and they wanted people to notice the clothes more than the women.
And then somebody said, I want to look like them, and bam, now we had a mass hysteria of we have to be thin.
Right. So it's an interesting piece of history. I love history.
Me too. And so now I'm glad that television is saying, you know, if you're a woman and you're 5'6 and 135 pounds, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would hope that we can just accept ourselves for just, you know, the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of worrying about being accepted by this unrealistic perception
mm-hmm.
that people have. Very convoluted and complex.
Yes, it is. Okay, so let's find out where you're going with these women as they're dealing with these issues that are coming up about self-esteem, about repressed emotions and what have you. How are you helping them resolve those things? What kind of tools and techniques are you using? And ultimately, how are you reinforcing those changes?
Well, the easiest way for me to answer that would be to give you examples.
Please.
And I'm obviously never going to mention any names.
Of course.
For example, one woman was a beautiful young girl, 24 years old. Very controlling parenting went on for her. So she manifested herself that she has to be perfect
mm-hmm.
all the time in every way. And everything has to be done perfectly and in control and that kind of thing, just like her mother. And her homework, I said to her, you need to do, we all agreed, because the group, it's not just about me facilitating this, it's you get empowerment from each other. So they all jump in and give suggestions, and which is completely empowering for them to do, and I jump in and give my feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I asked her was, well, what do you like to do? What's fun? And Stuart, I tell you, she sat there for 5 minutes because she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really... It was just really heart-wrenching, and we were all, you know, crying for her because she was crying. I don't know what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you like to do? So I dug down. Well, okay, well, what do you find fun? Tell me the last time you had a good time. Well, I went shopping. Great. So her homework assignment was to go to an exclusive area to shop
mm-hmm.
because that's something that she found enjoyable.
Okay.
She did, and she bought a new purse, and she came to the next session with her new purse, and
uh-huh.
we were all so proud of her, and she put her arms around me, and she's just like, thank you,
mm-hmm.
and she was smiling, and I hadn't really seen her smile much.
Wow.
And it's not about me, really, it's about me being able to bring the light from them,
mm-hmm.
and that is the perfect example.
Right. Yeah, my attitude is we're not the healers, we're just the conduits that allow them to access what's already inside there to
exactly,
do the healing.
Exactly, that I see
mm-hmm.
that they are unable to
mm-hmm.
until the awareness is brought to their attention.
Right. Now, working with addictions over the years, for a long time as I've done, I know people can tend to substitute another addiction to the one that they're healing, so they feel great about, you know, not doing drugs anymore, but they transfer it to sex or debting or whatever else. So
yes.
I'm assuming you're working with her that she then doesn't transfer the food to shopping and
debting. Yeah, and yes, absolutely. And I don't see yet any other addictive, because I've asked them. I think some of them had some issues in the past with drugs and alcohol, but they're not really experiencing anything like that now. So that is something that I have to be very aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But if they continue to do the things that make them feel good, I mean, we know intuitively when we're overspending, when we're overeating, when we're overdrinking, when we're overgambling.
Right.
And it's just they have to just be aware
mm-hmm.
of what they're doing. The awareness
right.
is where it all starts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that definitely I have to keep my eye on that. But as long as everybody is doing what they can to feel good, there's a woman there that realizes that, and this is not where it started, but this is where it surfaced, that she really needs to get away from a very toxic boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very, very, very toxic boss who's not empowering her, who's, you know, when you're around people that drain your energy,
yes.
that's usually a big clue to not be around those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's trying to come to terms with that because it's a really big decision. So
for a lot of people, it's the belief that they they deserve that kind of treatment.
Exactly. And then again, because we've only had two group sessions so far, I know it's way deeper than that. She's
right.
definitely admitted wholeheartedly that she has this undeniable need to be accepted. And I'm actually working with her separately, along
right.
with the group, working with her separately, because it's just way deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another woman that has some parenting issues. She's a tough one. She really doesn't think there was nothing going on in her family of origin to cause her to feel this way about herself. But she knows that there is. We're just trying to get to it.
Right.
It's just very interesting.
Well, a lot of people are going to be listening to this and think, you know, it's like, oh, if I start digging all that stuff up, I'm going to be in therapy or working with this coach for the next 10 years to really do it all. But, you know, I need to put it out there. You know, like my philosophy is the whole purpose of therapy is to get out of therapy.
Oh, me too.
You know, and I know you and I have very, very like thinking and stuff. But when people hear a therapist say that, they're usually shocked. You can't really mean that. But the whole idea is to find ways to accelerate this process of consciousness
yes.
and awareness and stuff so that you're using tools and techniques that really help this healing process move faster.
Yes, and that's exactly, I totally agree with you. That's exactly what I'm here to do. The biggest rewards that I've gotten since I've been in business have been when my clients have said, I don't need you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it make you feel to have impacted my life in this way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no greater gift than that.
Right.
It's just, and that's really why, and tell me if I'm digressing too much off the topic, that's really why I need to be on TV. I need to get myself out there, not because of me or the money that could possibly follow from that, because there's so many people out there that need my help.
Mm-hmm.
To feel better. I knew from when I was a little girl that I was put on this earth to help people feel good about themselves. And I had to go through a lot of pain because I had experience it all.
Right. I said that often because I, as a kid, I was one of those kids that even adults came to for advice.
Always.
And for my opinion. And I consider us, you know, I mean, it's not a newly coined word, but there are children on this planet that we know that are like these earth angels
mm-hmm.
that are much closer to an intuitive way of seeing things. And unless it's beaten down because the adults are too uncomfortable having children that wise around them and they don't know how to handle it, it needs to be nurtured in those kids. And we all know at least one or two children like that.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to really nurture that, let them feel confident in it, let them feel like it's not strange and it's not different.
Yeah, and they're not ADD and they're not any of those
right.
things. They're just different.
Right. And the reality of it is, you know, I do believe I have ADD, but I think that this is one of the gifts that grew out of my
yeah.
brain chemistry and the ADD that I have was the fact that I had to develop my intuitive senses a lot more because I wasn't learning in other ways.
Right. So in that case, was there anything really wrong with having the ADD?
No, not at all.
No, it served you.
Yeah, I think it's a gift for me in many ways. You know, not knowing that I had it until age 45, that was the struggle.
Wow, I probably have it too.
Well, but I think, you know, one of the diagnostic things, not to get off and onto ADD, because I've talked about this on the show many times, one of the diagnostic things is that people with ADD tend to be very intuitive, creative, and intelligent.
Yes.
And it's channeling those abilities and seeing those things as the gift that comes with it is one of the keys in making people with ADD feel more empowered and feel better about themselves.
Yeah, because I think there's just so much stream of creative information that goes through the mind that you have trouble figuring out what to do with it,
mm-hmm.
compartmentalizing it.
Right.
So.
Now, one of the other things I did about 1991 is I actually, you know, I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
You did?
I know it's extreme. It wasn't my intention to go that long. It was actually going to be a couple of days, but I just went a day at a time, more or less. And I remember at a certain point feeling so incredibly light and so great that I actually got scared when I heard my mind think, if I could feel this good not eating, why would I ever want to eat again?
Wow.
And it was like, you know, and then I like immediately went back into my fear, oh, my God, you know, it's like if I don't eat again, I might die type of thing.
Right.
But I remember as the food was actually removed from my process. I mean, I drank as much water as I wanted to and very diluted fruit juice. But as the food was like out of my system and it wasn't a focus of my day-to-day living, and as not eating stopped being a focus of my day-to-day living over those 40 days, I felt a lot of the other stuff we're talking yeah. about kind of just falling away.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
It was one of, actually, as you can imagine, one of the most life-transforming experiences I could ever imagine. I don't recommend it to everyone. I don't want people going out
40
and starting.
40 days?
40 days and 40 nights. I went for a colonic, and the woman said, well, you know, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad all found enlightenment after 40 days and 40 nights, and I think she planted a seed. I figured I want to find out what they found out.
Wow.
It was quite incredible, but the point of it is, when food was no longer the focus of
yep.
my day,
mm-hmm.
and craving the foods stopped being a focus of my day, the stuff just naturally started falling away. I was in such a centered, peaceful place and so God-connected. It was the most amazing space I've ever been in since or before. And it really brought home the fact that all this focus we put on food and the stuff that we're hiding behind it with, really, you know, it is all interconnected.
And it is, all it is a distraction from us dealing with stuff.
Right.
Because what you just said was so poignant. It,
mm-hmm.
you had, the food was it. You knew you weren't going to think about it because you weren't going to eat.
Right.
So that is just such a testimony. I really find that very admirable that you did that. I'm sure. Well, how old were you when you did that?
It was 1991. I was 41.
Wow.
And it was great. I mean, I was doing a lot of other work. I was doing colonics, I was rebirthing, I was meditating, I was getting foot reflexology and massage, I was doing sweat lodges and, you know, Native American sweat lodges. I was doing everything I can to really detox and cleanse.
Wow.
And it wasn't obviously just a physical detox and cleanse. It was
oh, yeah.
a total emotional, spiritual cleansing.
Well, that's what all it was, and then it became physical because
right.
of that.
Right.
Wow, that's incredible.
So, again, I don't recommend people...
Yeah.
It really was something that day by day just started unfolding. It wasn't, if I went into it with the intention of doing 40 days, I probably wouldn't have lasted a week.
Right.
So
you just kept wanting to feel good.
Well, yeah, and the longer I went, the better I was feeling.
So you didn't feel faint, you didn't feel like you couldn't think.
There were days when I did, but there were days after the first week, it was like some days I couldn't move out of my lounger in my living room, and I just sat there buzzing. And there are other days when you couldn't stop me from cleaning the apartment from one end to the other.
Wow.
It was just a pure energy that was just raising me.
And that's just totally, it's all, you know, I'm embarking on writing a book because I've been, you know, I listened to the messages, and like four people in the last week said, you got to write a book, you got to write. I'm like, all right, I got it, I got
mm-hmm.
it, I'll write it. And the potential title is Happiness, comma, It's All in Your Head.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is.
Right.
And that, what you just described, is it was all in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't, you functioned fine. 40
I know.
Days. That's
it brought
a
long up everybody
time.
Else's terror.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God, we have to put him in the hospital.
Yeah, everybody. I even went for a physical. I mean, I started buying into everyone else's fear about what I was doing
yeah.
that about 3 weeks into it, I went and had a complete physical, and the doctor said, your blood work and everything is so perfect. He said, I can't believe that you haven't been eating this long, but he said, just stay conscious and continue doing what you feel is right for yourself. I mean, this is a really good doctor.
Yeah,
was able
obviously.
To say this. And just don't get crazy. And the reality was I was getting saner and saner as it went along.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
So, I want to... Enough about me. Let's talk about me.
It was a good story, though, and very relative to the topic.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why I brought it up, because I do feel like it even though I'm a sugar binger again now,
uh-huh.
it took a while before I slowly, and part of it was that I allowed some of the old stuff to creep back in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I realize that now. And,
but you're aware. You're conscious of it.
You're much more conscious. So we have about 5 or 6 minutes left. I want to make sure, number one, that whatever it is you need to say about this and what you're doing and when the show is on so people can stay on top of it and how people can reach you.
Okay, well, thank you. We are going to be on two more times. So we're looking at June 23rd. That's next month, obviously. And then again on July... Sorry, I don't have it in front of me. The last Wednesday in July, and if I had my calendar right.
July 27th.
Yes, July 27th.
June 23rd and July 27th.
Thank you. The show airs ABC 15. It's Sonoran Living Live. It's, the show's been on since 99, they started the show. And it will be on from 9 to 10 a.m., and we do a brief segment, and all the weight loss contestants are on the show along with myself and the lead trainer from Naturally Fit Women. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to discuss their issues, the potential of perhaps working with a coach, can absolutely unequivocally call me for a complimentary consultation, and I'll determine if it's a good fit, because if it's not a good fit, I would never, you know, coach anybody out of my integrity.
Mm-hmm.
They can reach me at my home office at area code 623-536-9570, and I also have a website, which is www.lilyjoycoaching.com, and in case anybody wants to ask me, because I always get asked, what's Lily Joy? Well, I don't have any children yet, but I am planning on having one in the very near future.
Great.
And that it will be her name. Lily is after my grandmother, and because it's, I wanted a very light, pretty name.
Mm-hmm.
So Lily is after my grandmother, and Joy is because I would hope that if it's a girl, she would be filled with.
Uh-huh.
So that's my information. What else?
A closing thought about what you are encouraging people to do.
Feel good. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Just do whatever you can to feel good, because feeling good feels good. And when you feel good, your body will react to that
mm-hmm.
in a very positive way.
Right.
Whether you eat fast food or eat a salad,
mm-hmm.
your body, as long as you're feeling good, your body will respond, I guarantee.
Well, as opposed to the attitude most people take, if I fix the exterior, I'll
yes.
be happier.
And are they ever really long-term?
No, because the cycle usually is they diet, they have success, they feel good about themselves, but they usually relapse back to the old eating habits because they haven't done the inner work that we've been talking about.
Right, or some other addiction. I mean,
right.
I not only had anorexia and bulimia, I struggled with alcohol. You name it, I had it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just transfer it from one to another until you finally say, you know what, I think it's kind of time for me to deal with my stuff.
Right. So the essence of what we're talking about here, just so my listeners, you know, again, if you didn't write down Lynn's information, you can go to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. Even though the archives are probably about a month behind in getting update and current, or 2 months, I think, at this point. This show and all my other shows are archived on there, so if you want to hear the show again and within the next couple of weeks, it'll be current and you'll be able to listen to it. And you can also get the link to Lily Joy Coaching there. And if you have some feedback for myself or for Lynn, we'd love to get your emails. I always enjoy hearing from people who are listening because, you know, I know you're out there, and every once in a while I get an email that I know that there are listeners really taking to heart what we talk about on the show, and I really appreciate that. So tellthetruthfaster.com. And if you want to get on my weekly email blast so you know what my guest and topic is each week, just let me know that, and I'll add you to my weekly list. There are about 800 people on that list that get an announcement each week about who's going to be on the show and what it's going to be about. So, with all this being said, Lynn, I really want to thank you. Both shows that I've done with you, I've really enjoyed the exchange with you. I know we're very much of like mind and approach to things, and a real compliment in terms of who we are professionally, and I really believe that on a personal level, too, even though we've never met face-to-face.
I know. Thank you very much. I feel the same way.
Exactly. Great.
The same way.
So, I really... You know, I want to actually quote something. If any of you saw the Dr. Phil show yesterday, he had all the people back on. He's been doing a weight loss thing based on his book, I think, The 10 Keys, whatever. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with lifestyle change, you know, avoiding negative people around you, eating to live and not living to eat, getting on top of the environment so that there's not a lot of things around the house, all that stuff. But the most poignant thing he said, especially as he was dealing with this woman who hadn't left her house in years because she was 675 pounds, she took off 400 pounds and still losing. And she's out of the house now and actually walked onto the stage. It was amazing to see this woman. And what he said is, take blame out of your vocabulary. And that's what I want to leave all of you with. Take blame out of your vocabulary. Whether it's the voice of your parents blaming you, whether it's you blaming yourself or whatever, take a look at the things that you feel you're blaming yourself for or that you're blaming other people for. And the cornerstone for Sandra's book, The Only Diet There Is, has to do with forgiveness. And as you forgive, blame goes and a lot of the resentments and angers go. So I really recommend The Only Diet There Is by Sandra Ray. I highly recommend that you get in touch with Lynn Gagliardi if you're in the Phoenix area or not, because coaching can be done over the phone.